Well, this morning, we're going to be on the topic of faith for a little bit, for the next little while. And, what's Faith City Church without faith, right? And we're going to be starting a series. Ooh. So we'll see how long this takes. 6 to 8 months, I don't know. We'll see, no. But this, the title of this series is going to be called Step Out. And today's message of the series is Get Out of the Boat. Ooh, get out of the boat. Some of you might know where we're going with this. And Peter. No, Titanic, actually. No. Every night in my dreams. No, sorry. You like that? It'll be out on my next album. All right. Well, turn in your Bibles or put your thumb in your Bible there to Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. We're going to start there. It might be up on your screen, but I like the Bible sometimes, like even though I use my phone. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever stepped out of your comfort zone? I mean, she pushes you. You know, it's so easy sometimes to get comfortable in a spot, right? I mean, you can get into a groove and you can really, really like it. I mean, just same routine, comfort, you're safe, you know what's going on. That's okay, sometimes. But then when you step out, I mean, sometimes stepping out in faith or going to do something different can be a little crazy. Sometimes you're forced to, whether it be, you know, I know kids go through a progression. They go through school, a different grade, and I mean, it's a little exciting sometimes and scary. Changing schools, you go from like elementary to middle school up to junior high, senior high. I mean, you go to different schools, different buildings, there's a big crowd, lots of people in there. It can be scary sometimes. And then when graduation comes around, you realize, wait a minute, I got to do something with my life, right? Grade 12 hits, and then you're trying to figure out, well, what's going on? And, you know, some go to university, some go to trade, some do something, some live in their mom's basement till they're 45. I mean, there's different things that take place. That may or may not be a jab, I don't know. But, you know, there's different things that happen, that go on. And, I mean, stepping out sometime, then you want to buy a car. Hey, man, Benjamin, are you saving your money, boy? He soon gets his license next March. Thank you, Jesus. You know, right now, I'm a full-time taxi driver. Oh, my goodness. When you got four kids and they got lives of their own, dad and mom just drives taxi. I guarantee. I should pick up Uber and start charging them. Because I'd be able to retire by next winter. Easy. But, I mean, there's different changes and there's different things and stepping out. I know for my kids, it's been interesting to watch them progress and grow. I mean, Abby started high school this year, and I was more apprehensive than what she was. That was an uncomfortable thing for me because she's my oldest girl, but she's my sweet baby girl. She'll always be, you know, I love my girls. I love my boys, don't get me wrong, but girls are a little special, right? You know what I mean? I tolerate the boys. No, I love my boys. But she was going to a big school, she was going to Hammarskjöld, and that school is massive, you know? And I remember my high school days. So, yeah, we'll leave it at that. And so, but you know what? She is thriving in high school. She loves it. At first, the first day, you know, she was a little nervous, but then after that, she settled in, got her friends, got into the routine, and now she's just all excited all the time about going to high school. I mean, that's really cool, but she had to step out, and, you know, we looked at different options for her and what she wanted to do, and she weighed things, but then, it clicked with her that this is good. So she stepped out, got involved in things, and she's getting involved, you know, and it's good to see the growth that's taking place in her life. You know, that's wonderful. I like that. And there's other times when you see people as well, you know, as they're progressing and kids grow. Once again, it's like, okay, you buy a car, you buy a house. That's a big step. I remember when we bought our house. That was scary, you know? I mean, that's like one of the biggest investments of your life right there, you know, is buying a house. And so doing that and realizing that you owe somebody else all this money, you know, like that's a scary feeling. And that's a big step. Right? Let alone, you know, you think about getting married as well. I mean, spending the rest of your life with somebody. That's nuts. You know? You think about that. That could be a scary thought. You know? Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things. But when you step out in faith, like I said earlier, it changes everything. Let's keep going here. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 to 36, it says, immediately. Everyone say immediately.
Immediately.
And that's pretty quick, that is, immediately. After this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. The night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. Now, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. Now, when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once, "Don't be afraid." He said, "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went out, went over the side of the boat, and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. The disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they proclaimed. Let's just stop there for a minute. Man, there's a lot going on there, huh? There's a lot going on there. I mean, you look at old Pete there. Here was Peter. And they're in the boat, minding their business, and this crazy storm pops up. You ever been out in the boat in a storm? Anyone ever been out there? Yeah? Yeah? Well, I have a little bit of sea time. Before I was here, I spent some time on the North Atlantic, actually, up in the Arctic. And let me tell you something. When a storm comes, it comes. And it takes no mercy. Now, I've only got a little bit of sea time in compared to my father and my grandfather. And Dad could tell you some stories about some weather. I guarantee it. Now, I've seen a storm or two. I remember one night specifically sailing down from up north. We were on the Labrador coast. And we had a broadside wind and crazy, crazy waves. It was just disgusting. I mean, this is the type of night that just for badness, we would say, we would go turn on the perfect storm to watch. This is the type of things that we would do, you know? Not setting ourselves up for anything at all, right? And so it seemed like the snottier the weather, that would be the movies we'd go to, anything with a storm in it, right? Just crazy. But this was my watch, middle of the night, and I was up with the mate. The guys were down below. We were done fishing our trip, and we were sailing. So he come and got me, and the guys were down in the galley. They were sitting around drinking coffee or whatever, watching the show. Skipper was in bed, and it was me and the first mate up in the wheelhouse. So he goes down below to get a coffee. He's like, "Keep eye on everything." Told me the heading, watch the radar, and just watch, keep going. The man wasn't gone down over the stairs 30 seconds when I look out the window, and I'm like, uh-oh. And this massive wave hit the boat, and it took us broadside. Now, at this time, our boat had so much weight in it, it was like a bobber. Thank God. Because it was full. We come with a full load of fish. But this wave came and hit us so hard, and the boat lied all the way down on its side. So here I am in the skipper's chair. Next thing I'm looking, and I'm actually looking straight down at the ocean, and I'm kind of hanging on for dear life. I'm hearing the crashing and the banging, and the dishes flying everywhere, guys yelling down below. It was just, and then the boat decides to pop right back up again and go on the other side. So now I'm hanging on for dear life onto the chair so I don't go over the chair to go over the dash and take out all the electronics. Oh, I mean, and then the boat pops back up as if nothing happened. So this time, everything's in chaos on board. And then all of a sudden, the mate comes up, flying up over the stairs. What did you do? And I'm like, I'm nothing. I think it was the wave. So no one's asleep at this time. The skipper comes out, and he's like, what happened? I said, wave. And he starts checking everything and looking at everything and all this stuff. And wow, it was crazy. Went and checked on the boys down below. One guy was sitting on one side of the table, and when it was done, he was sitting on the other side of the table. It was just, there was dishes everywhere. It was just a mess. It was a crazy storm that night. And let me tell you, for the next few hours, there wasn't much sleep aboard of that boat because we were a little concerned about what the storm. Someone actually stopped playing the movie. But I will never forget that night. That, naturally speaking, that was one of the worst storms that I had ever witnessed. And seeing the crazy that took place and seeing the power and how you can feel so insignificant in the middle of a storm. The power of the ocean is unbelievable. You know, it's absolutely crazy. So, I can kind of understand the scary moments in this. I kind of get it a little bit. And I love boats. You all know I love boats. We spend a lot of time on the water. I got a lot of respect for that. But now also, you got to spend a lot of time in the Word as well and with Jesus. Because this is what the saving grace was. This was what changed the whole story around here. Because what we'll see here is Peter, when he's seen Jesus walking on the water, and after the guys all said, oh, it's a ghost. And Jesus is like, no, it's me, I'm here. What did Peter do? Hey, if it's really you, tell me to come to you. That would not be the first thing I would think of. If I seen somebody walking on the water towards me, I'm not going to be like, hey, can I come with you? I'd be like, what are you doing? Right? But see, here's Peter. He was on to something here. If it's really you, Lord, he understood that there was power in Jesus. He understood that there was so much power there. So what did he do? He said, Jesus, if it's really you, come tell me to come. And what did Jesus do? Come on, buddy! And Peter never hesitated. He stepped out of the boat. That would not be the first thought to come to my mind either. Because I wouldn't even ask, like, hey, can I come with you? Like, I've seen people water ski. That's when they're moving really, really fast. Right? You glide across the water. But I have yet to see anybody walk over water when it's in a liquid form. Okay? Lots of people walk when it's frozen. Yeah. Right? I mean, I'm sure all of us at one point or another in our lives, we've walked on ice. Right? But not too many of us have walked on water. Right? Any water skiers in here? So, that don't surprise me, Ida. Yeah. This is not built for water skiing. This is more built for a lazy river in a tube. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Or just cruising on board a nice boat. No, this is not meant to be dragged behind a boat. I have stories about that, but that's for another story, another message at another time. Well, like seriously, when Peter looked at the Lord, or looked at Jesus, and is like, tell me to come. And that's what he did. Jesus told him to step out of the boat and come. So Peter stepped out of the boat and he started walking towards Jesus. Now, as Peter's walking, he starts realizing something. The natural man starts kicking in a little bit and starts seeing, wait a minute, it's stormy out here. I almost think that his feet acted before his brain could. Sometimes we end up doing that ourselves. Or, you know, before we can reason things out, we jump out and we do something, which is not necessarily a bad thing like we see here. But, you know, All right, Peter, come on. Peter jumped out of the boat and started walking towards Jesus. Yay. Hey, Lord, I'm coming. Wait a minute. This is wet. It's windy. There's waves. And the Bible says he began to sink. You see, he started getting out of faith and trusting in the one who called him and started looking at the situation that was around him. Guys, if we want to stay afloat in life, we need to stop looking at the circumstance and the situation. Even though it might be absolute chaos around you, the answer is Jesus. And he's the one that's going to bring you through. If he called you out, he's going to get you through it. Now, the problem is sometimes is that we step out and Jesus calls us, oh yeah, I'm going to do it. And then we get sidetracked by everything else that's going on. I mean, life happens. Yes, life gets busy sometimes. How many of you got a busy life? Everybody in here, you got things going on. Absolutely. So, what about it? Sometimes life gets stressful. Sometimes things don't always go the way that you want them to go. Right? Sometimes it gets really frustrating. Sometimes it can get overwhelming. Stressful. Aggravating. All those words. And then what happens when you focus on those words and those things? It's not getting any better. Because that's what you're thinking about. That's what you're focused on. That's what the situation, that's all you see. That's what starts consuming you. Like Peter, when he stepped out of the boat, instead of walking on top of the storm, he started to become engulfed and sucked into it. And that is a very dangerous place for us to be. Guys, when it comes to stepping out in faith, we need to make sure that we're stepping out in faith and we keep our eyes on the prize. Because there's going to be times in your life when God calls you to go do something, you'll be like, what are you talking about? How am I going to do this? How am I going to get through this? This does not make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to me. But you got to get out of the boat. Now, for you movie buffs in here, I like Indiana Jones. Anybody here else like Indiana Jones movies? Absolutely. Now, in 1989, there was an Indiana Jones movie produced. The Last Crusade. How many of you remember that one? Okay. Now, and there's a scene there, and the name of the scene is called The Leap of Faith. Anybody else remember this scene? So Indiana Jones, Indy, he has to come to the aid of his father. But he comes to a very big chasm, a big space. So he's on this path, this trail, whatever, in the mountain, stops, and there's a great big chasm, and then the path continues. And so poor old Indy is like, what do I do? Can't get across, but he got to get across. He got to save his father. Now, through a series of other riddles and things in the way in Indiana Jones fashion, they figure out that he has to step out. Well, I love it when the movie pans to his face when he's getting ready to make that first step. Because you can see him and his real emotion of, oh, Lord. And when he steps out into the nothingness and he puts his foot down, the path appears. And the look of relief on his face when it happens. And that gets me thinking. A lot of times it's that first step is always the worst. Because you can't always see what's there. But as soon as we forget about the chasm, we forget about the storm, we forget about the chaos around us, and we just keep our eye on the prize, and we know what we got to do, and we know that God has called us to do so much more than this, and that God's got a plan, and that when we trust in God, and we put our foot down, and the path shows up. We might not be able to see the next step, but it gives us the ability to take the next step, and then the next step, and then the next step, and then the next step. Now, like Peter, you might, for momentarily, have a lapse and get your eyes off the prize. And you might start, oh no, a little bit. In Peter's case, he got wet. He went down. But what did he do? Did he say, oh, that's it, I'm done? And he accepted his faith that he was going to drown. No, he did not. Instead, he said, Lord Jesus, save me. That's what the scripture says. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus just didn't point at him and be like, sorry, dude. You should have just kept looking at me. No. You know? No. Jesus didn't do that. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? It says he reached out his hand and plucked them up, picked them up. And then they both of them, walked back to the boat, to the safety of the boat. Now, you're not hearing me. Hold on a second here. Jesus stretched out his hand and picked them up. You see, it doesn't matter how many times you fail. All you got to do is cry out the name of Jesus, and he's going to pick you up. And there's many types of issues and situations that we are facing today that might feel like we are drowning. Let's be honest. The price of everything has gone through the roof. I've talked to a lot of people who are feeling the financial crunch in their lives. But let me tell you something. If you focus on the things of God, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things. There's something that I really appreciate here about that, is that when you put God first, he's going to make sure that you have more than enough. See, believers, Christians, King's kids, what do you want to call them? We're not meant to be in lack or suffer. We were never intended for that. The Bible says that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. And it also talks about in there that we are to reign as kings in life. We are not supposed to be drowning by the turmoils and the trials of this life. We are not supposed to be going without and doing without. We are supposed to be blessed. I'm preaching better than what you're amen, and I guarantee it right now. We were designed to be blessed in every area of our lives. God has called us for such a time as this. Now, like I said, the world around us is falling apart. But even in the craziness, we can thrive. Amen. We can do more. We were created amazing. God created you with such a plan and such a purpose. The devil hates it. The devil can't stand what God's got for you to do. And so therefore, if he can cause chaos in your life and get your focus off of him, the Bible calls him the deceiver. That's what he is. He tries and deceives you that, you know what? No, you're going down. This storm is too big. You're not going to last. This is going to take you out this time. But see, guess what? That's a lie from the pit of hell. That's not truth. The word of God says, as greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The Bible says, by his stripes. Right? How many healed people we got in here this morning? How many blessed people we got in here this morning? This is good. This is something that we need to be meditating on and thinking about on a daily basis. Because once again, if we continue to think about, oh, woe is me. Oh, the economy is bad. Oh, the government done this. Oh, this is happening down there. Oh, the world is falling apart. Oh, this is bad. Oh, man, the roads in Thunder Bay are terrible. Oh, no. There's not enough housing. There's too much this. There's too much that. I mean, it's going to, like, completely engulf you and take control of your life when it consumes you like that. And that's all. And when that's all you focus on, my goodness, you're going to find yourself in a dark spot. People bring turmoil on themselves just by what they're focusing on. But if you want peace and joy in your life, and if you want Jesus to pluck you up, you got to focus on him. That was a hard lesson Peter had to learn real quick, is that when you get your eye off Christ, you're going to sink. Things are going to go down. But as soon as you reach back out, call his name, he is right there. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. He's always there. There's many times when I've called out his name for different situations in my life, and he's never left me high and dry. He's never left me alone. He makes sure that he's got me. And it's not always the way that I expected it to happen either. God's ways is better than our ways. Amen. Is this good? Turn over in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Verses 1 to 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. Everyone say hungry.
Hungry.
Anyone hungry?
Yeah.
Should have packed a lunch. All right. During that time, the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No. The scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Now, this little situation here, Jesus was going through a bit of a rough time. How many of you have been in a desert and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights? Anybody? I mean, I got a hard time fasting from like 9 o'clock to noon. Anybody else? You know? And if you're one of those union guys, you got a 15-minute break in there between that. And if you fast that, man, that's just rough. You know, I'm telling you. I mean, I feel like a hobbit sometimes. Yes, we had one breakfast, but what about a second breakfast? Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. Ah, yes, we had one breakfast. What about second breakfast? You know? I mean, my goodness. But here's Jesus, 40 days in the wilderness. Woo! Yuck. That's, first of all, desert? I'm not built for the desert. You know, I don't know anyone else like the desert. It's just too dry. It's hot. Very hot. Nope, I'm not built for that. Now, Jesus stated this when he was having a little bit of a hard time. He said, "People not live by bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God." The thing is that when Jesus spoke that, he was reminding the devil, hold on a second now. Yes, the situation is not that great that I'm facing. 40 days without food, fasting, walking around in the heat is not great. But I don't need the things of this world to make me feel good. What makes me good and what makes me complete and what makes me full is the things of the Lord. And then when he had that conversation with Satan, wasn't too far out there, long thereafter, that he was done with his fasting. Because God will supply. God will make a way. God will get you through the desert place. God will get you through the storm. But keep your eyes focused on him. Amen. Amen. Well, in 32, verse 32 of our text, it says, "When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. And when the disciples worshiped him, they said, 'You really are the Son of God,' they exclaimed." Now, Jesus didn't let Peter go all the way down to the bottom of Davy Jones' locker. But Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him as soon as Peter cried out, "Lord, save me." Now, Peter had the faith to step out of the boat. And he knew exactly who to cry out to as soon as he was in trouble. It's funny because our kids, when they get into trouble, they know who to cry out to. No, Dad. Because Mom is going to get them. "Rescue us, Dad." You know, if something breaks, if they break something, it's usually, "Dad, don't tell Mom." And in my house, you know, and that's the way, and sometimes it's, if I break something, "Kids, don't tell Mom." When you're in the time of crisis, we don't go calling every hotline around. You know, we don't go calling or searching, trying to get everyone. We call it to the name of Jesus. Amen. When we're hurting, we look to Jesus. When we're facing turmoil, what do? We look to Jesus. He's going to lead us and he's going to guide us out. Like he did with Peter and grabbed Peter's hand. He didn't let Peter go. He walked with him. So that's exciting, because when we're stepping out now, and we're stepping out of our comfort zone, we're going to do something new. Maybe it's a new career. Maybe, you know, we're moving somewhere. Maybe something different is happening in our life. Maybe, I don't know, there's different things that go on. Whatever it might be, Jesus got us by the hand. Amen. Sometimes stepping out into different ministry areas, that can be scary. And there's people in here, I firmly believe that God is calling you to do something different than what you've done before. Well, walk with Jesus and by holding your hand. Because he will lead you, he will guide you. I was really inspired by Pastor Jim and Shelley Christian when their story and some of the stuff that they said. And I've been working on a little project for them to help them out a little bit. And I've gotten to know them a little bit better and seen some of the things that they've done. And you talk about stepping out of your comfort zone and going to places and doing things. I mean, they were just here, fantastic service. The ladies, you had an awesome conference with Miss Shelley. And, you know, Pastor Jim preached here and just told some of their stories, some of the stuff that they were doing. But, I mean, that's only the tip of the iceberg. And it all started with very humble beginnings, and then just kept moving forward and snowballing and getting bigger and bigger, you know? And I'm sure they had moments of, how are we going to do this? But then we got to make sure that we have the moments of, God's got us, right? Like, they've literally been all over the world doing ministry work and doing things, you know? I think of Brother Mark Davey, who comes around here, you know, literally preaching to millions and millions of people, you know? And he started off in the ministry. I'm not belittling what he started off with, but just in a smaller church. And now he's really preaching around the world to the masses, you know? Our very own Pastor Roma, you know, the boy from Suckle Creek, right? He's an author. He's a TV show host, you know? Started a Bible college. He's gone out preaching to the different places across Canada, reaching multitudes of people. Like, come on now, stepping out in faith, yeah, it can be scary. And if we go back in time and ask young Pastor Roma and tell them, hey, guess what you're going to be doing? He'd probably be freaking out a little bit. When I first started out in ministry 15, 16 years ago, I didn't think the things that I've done and accomplished I'd be doing today. You know? I'm going to be honest with you. When I first started out, I was more than content to be an usher the rest of my life. I was fine with that. That's what I wanted to do, actually. You ask my wife and anybody. That's what I wanted to do. I just wanted to be an usher. That was great. But the Lord had different plans. What a guy. You know? But when you allow him to lead you. Now, we didn't go from there to here by one step. And it wasn't always keeping my eyes on Jesus the whole time either. I had a few Peter moments, and I got a little wet sometimes. I've learned how to swim a little bit. I've had a few swimming lessons. But let me tell you something. I was smart enough to look back at Jesus. Because when I feel myself going off, I know something's not right between me and him. And it's not him, it's me. And so if we got things going a little loony in our lives, that's going off track a little bit, that's not us. That's not him, that's us. Because he is steadfast. He never changes. His word is solid. And so therefore, if he said, you know what? I'm going to make a way. He's made a way. All God's promises are yes and amen. So if God promised it, that settles it. His word is not going to change. So if he said, call out to me, call out to him. He's going to save you. If he said, trust in me, trust in him. He's not going to lead you astray. He's going to show you the way. He's going to make a way. He's going to prepare a way. But here we are trying to figure stuff out in ourselves. I mean, you ever traveled somewhere and you got your co-pilot? My case, wife. And you have your GPS on your phone, right? But I got a GPS in my head that is not as good as I would want it to be on times. But my wife has her phone out just in case, because she knows my GPS is not that great sometimes. And I mean, sometimes I try to go a certain path my way, and it will get us there eventually. Yes. Or there's what we call Kendra's way. And that's the efficient way, the quick way. You can almost say the correct way to go somewhere. I'm showing how much of a man I am today. I can swallow my pride a little bit. Okay? And if I would just listen to her when she's driving, our, you know, 3-hour tour wouldn't turn into a 25-year saga. Are you listening to me? So therefore, we got to understand that there's someone that knows more than what we do about direction. There's someone that knows a little bit more. The guy that created you and gave you the path to follow, who created the way you're supposed to go, he knows the general way to get there. But here we are, it's like, no, I got this. I'm going to do this my way. I know where I'm going. I'm going to, you know. Well, for heaven's sakes, what are you, the Hebrew children, going to wander around the wilderness for 40 years? You know? Some of us are missing out on what God's called us to do because we're stuck up wandering around. Some of us are still walking in the wilderness. We need to stop and listen. We got to follow the right way. We got to follow God's positioning system. Follow God's path, God's plan. Amen? Oh boy, that's good. That's good. I'm going to preach myself happy. Just like Peter said, or just like Peter did, I should say, you got to get out of the boat in faith, man. It's so easy to stay in the boat. It's so easy to just to stay there and just watch what's going on around you. It's just so easy just to, you know, you think the boat is a safe place. Just ask the crew of the Titanic how safe that boat was. But when you got Jesus on the inside of the boat, the storm stops. Because as soon as they climb back into that boat, everything just passed right out. I know Lake Superior can get pretty crazy sometimes. And I was actually, I guess the next couple days is supposed to be a little rough on some of the Great Lakes. And I was looking at some of the charts there that they're saying that some of the waves are supposed to be like 12 and 15 feet tall. Like, that's pretty big for a lake. You know, that's pretty crazy, you know? Now, on the Atlantic Ocean, we've seen some big stuff out there. I mean, we're talking feet. I remember one night or one day we were steaming, and I had to duck and look up to the top of the window to see the top of the wave coming at us. Wow. Yeah, yeah. That was a scary day. That was a hard day on underwear, I guarantee it. that was Jesus take the wheel type day, you know? When we step out in faith and we trust Jesus, amazing things happen. Now, we might even take our eyes off of Christ for a few moments and find ourselves in trouble. But just like the Bible says here in Matthew, Peter cried out to Jesus to save him. And Jesus did. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says, "Don't love money, be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you and I will never abandon you." That looks pretty clear to me. Jesus is right there all the time. I mean, we can get so caught up with life around us. We can get so caught up with everything. And like, it's interesting that scripture verse there says, "And don't love money." I mean, money is good, right? I mean, you need money. But when you love it, it consumes you, and material things consume you, and the things of this life consume you, well, that's what's controlling you. If that's your driving force, you're going to have some issues, honey. But when you trust in God, forget about the materialistic things, or forget about all the storms or all the crazy that's going on around you, and you focus on Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and you think about all the good things that he's done for you, the things that he's going to do for you, the things that he's going to continually do for you, because he's just not going to do it once. Oh, well, you know what? I was sick once. He healed me, but now I'm sick again. I used up my card for that. That's it, you know. I got it once. No, that's not the way it works. The Lord is always there continually. Amen. Oh, man, I'm going through this struggle again. You see what's going on. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. It just keeps happening. You know, the Lord got me through it last time, but I don't know if this is going to happen again. No, no, no. That's not right. That's the wrong way of thinking. He's going to help you again. You fall down, he'll pick you up and he'll carry you through. You keep falling down, he'll pick you up. He'll dust you off. Come on. You go through a struggle, he's right there. He's going to help carry you through. He's going to hold your hand. You're going to step back into the boat and the storm is going to stop. That's my King. That's my Jesus. That's the one who came and died on the cross over 2,000 years ago. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." What does that mean? Is that when we trust in God, when we trust in the one who loves us so much that sent his one and only Son, that we are going to have a good life. We have a free gift of salvation that we can accept that belongs to me and you. And with that free gift, it opens up a whole new world that will blow your mind when we start walking in the fullness of life that God has set before me and you. Amen. He's going to bring you places and do things in your life that you never thought possible. You're going to see things happen in your life. People's lives around you are going to change. Things are going to take place that you never expected. You're going to walk into stores and be going to see you, and they're going to be like, "Man, he's different. Why is he like that? Why is he smiling? Why is he happy? Doesn't he know the world is crazy? Doesn't he know that he's in Thunder Bay, the murder capital? What's wrong with him? Why is she so happy? What has she got to be happy about? I'm going to be happy because I got Jesus on the inside of me. Because he's picked me up and he turned me around. Come on, he put me back in the boat where it was safe and he made a storm stop. That's my King. That's my Jesus. That's the one I worship. That's the one I love. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to invite you all to stand to your feet this morning.
Up and out.
The Lord is good. Some of y'all are getting hungry, I can tell. You're licking your lips. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord will never leave nor forsake. When we go after the things of God, when we step out of the boat in faith, when we act in faith, things change. What's the basic definition of faith? No, what's the basic definition of faith? Pastor Ken? Faith, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Basically, it's believing in your heart and seeing in your heart before you see it in the natural. We expect the natural to take place right now all the time. And that's where we find our comfort. Oh, if I see it, I'll believe it. You know? But let me tell you something. Even when you don't see it, you still believe it. Even when the storm is raging, you believe that it's done. When there's chaos all around you, you believe it's done. When you got ailments in your body, you believe that you're healed. When your bank account is laughing at you, you laugh back at it and say, "My Lord supplies all my needs." When you got some issues with relationships, you give glory to God that he's got you and things are restored and put back the way they need to be. When you're dealing with sadness and depression, you laugh anyhow. You stirred up on the inside of you. We already talked about it. Pastor Ken could have went, "Man, on that. I was ready for that. The joy of the Lord is our strength." Ha, ha, ha. I said, ha, ha, ha. There's too many sad Christians. There's too many sad Christians. Because we got the King of Kings, the guy that rescued us, the guy that pulled us and changed us, picked us up out of the mire. We got him on the inside. "Oh, they messed up my order at Tim Hortons. I got cut off in traffic on the way to church. Someone sat in my favorite seat in church this morning. I said, I'm leaving. No one here is like that, though, praise God. We don't need to be down, because we got a great God. We got a beautiful God. We got a wonderful, glorious God. We got our Savior. We got our Jesus on the inside of us. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're in this place tonight, today, and you're going through a rough spell, you're having some issues in life, you're dealing with some stuff right now, and you're like, well, Pastor Steve, you're absolutely nuts, but you said a few good things. And then I need to get back on track. I feel like I'm sinking right now in this storm. Nobody looking around. Don't want to embarrass nobody. But if you're in this place and you feel like you're going down, you're not sure what's next, you're not sure the next step, you feel like you're drowning, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand up real quick. Yep, come on. We're going to pray for each other. Come on. Yep, I see those hands all across this auditorium. Thank you. You might be a little concerned about what the future may bring. You might be at the edge of this chasm, like Indiana Jones. Not sure on how to make the first step. Not sure if you should make the first step. If that's you, raise your hand. Yep. Devil, you're a liar. Father God, I thank you for each person that's in this place today. Now, Father God, you see their lives and you see what they're going through. But Lord, you have mighty plans and purposes for each and every one of them. Now, Father, sometimes life can get a little crazy. Sometimes we can lose focus of what you've called us to do. But Father, just like old Peter here in the boat, that when he stepped out and he started walking towards you and he took his eyes off and he started focusing on the storm, he started to sink. And there's some people here, Father, where you see as we're going through it, they might feel like they're drowning a little bit. Stuff might seem heavy. They might be afraid to step out in faith, whatever the situation may be. But Father God, I thank you right now that you're a little grabbing them by the hand. You're picking them up, that they can feel your love and mercy and grace surround them this morning. Father, we thank you that you are not going to leave us nor forsake us. That, Father God, you're going to be right there to lead and guide and protect. Father, we thank you that you made a way for us. And Father, today, we make the decision to choose to follow you. We give you the glory this morning, all the honor and the praise, for you are good. Church, everybody in this place, just stretch your hands towards heaven and just thank him. Thank him for that guidance. Thank him for clarity. Thank him for direction. Thank him for the ability to step out in faith. That sometimes it might seem a little scary, but when we trust in him, he will help you. He will show you what you need to do. He will lead you in the right direction. Come on, church, let's make some noise in here. Let's just lift up our voice of praise to him. Come on. Let's just welcome the Lord in this place and thank him for his goodness. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, you're so good. We thank you, Father. We thank you for leading, guiding, protecting, making a way.